Daf Mem Vav Omer Aleph, three lines down from the top of the Omer. Itmar, again we're talking about Kiddushin Shalom Midas Av, Ketana Shediskatcha Shalom Lidas Avia. She went out and she received Kiddushin without the knowledge of her father. Omer Rav says, Bein Hi Ubein Avia Yecholim Li Akev. Which means, let's say the father hasn't yet heard about the Kiddushin. During that time period, between the moment that she, the Ketana, accepted the Kiddushin, received it, and the moment that the father heard about it, she decided she's not interested. Then, according to this sheet of Rav, she can be Chozerba, she can rescind her agreement to be married to this fellow, but again only before the father heard and was misratza. Once the father heard about it and he was misratza, then the kedushin achal, and she has no possibility of being chozeres, but she cannot void the kedushin. So again, according to Rav, the only time that she, the ketana, could void the kedushin, pull out or rescind her ratzon, her willingness to marry this guy, is only kolzman, as long as the father hasn't heard about it. Once the father's heard about it, if he indicates his ratzon, he's happy with the kedushin, she can no longer be chozer ba. So we have now the shita of Rav, which means that she could be chozer ba before the father hears about it. If she wasn't chozeres ba, then the father has rights to be chozer, but he could be ma'akiv. He could say, I'm not interested in this kedushin, and that voids the kedushin. That's the sheet of Rav. Rav Asi Omar Avia Velohi. The bas, once she gave her askam, she accepted the kedushin, she's out of the picture. She has no longer any rights over here with regard to this kedushin. Only the father has rights to be ma'akev, and he can declare that he's not interested, he's not willing to give his approval to this kedushin, and that voids the kedushin. So the machlokas between Rav and Ravasi revolves around the question of whether or not the ketana herself can rescind her ratzon, which was expressed in the fact that she originally accepted the kedushin. Rav says yes. Ravasi says no. She's already given her agreement, and now the ball is in the court of her father, totally, exclusively, whereas Rav allows her to rescind her ratzon, withdraw her ratzon, but again, as long as the father hasn't heard about it and hasn't been misratza. Esve Rav Huna Ravasi, Rav Huna raises an objection to Ravasi. The Amri law, according to another opinion, it's Chia bar Rav, Chia the son of Rav, Liravashi. He objected to Ravasi. Now, this objection of Rav Huna or Chia bar Rav is based on a brisa. The brisa itself is commenting on a parsha in the Torah called Mefata, which is in Parshas Mishpatim in Sefer Shmos. And there, the case of Mefata Sabsula, if the father, or perhaps even the Basula herself, we'll see, are not interested in receiving Kiddushin, in being married to this Mefata, because technically speaking, this Mefata has to marry this Basula, then, Imoin Yemoin Avia, if the father, as the Torah expressed it, objects, that's called miyun, he protests marriage, he's not interested, he refuses to let his daughter be married to this mafata, is then the mafata has to pay a knas. The chiyuv on the mafata is to pay a knas, which is called, in the language of the Torah, kesef yishkol kimoar habesulos. And this is all a knas that is engendered by the father's miyun when he refuses to allow his daughter to marry the mafata. The brisa now says the following: Ainli ella aviha. We know that the father himself can be mamayin and reject the marriage to this mefata. That's explicit in the Torah. But atzma, he atzma minayin. How do we know that she herself has rights to object and refuse to marry the mefata, and therefore force the mefata to pay the knas? Is the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Talmud Lomar, imoin yimoin. There's a double language here. Moin yimoin. One for the father and one for the bas. Mikomoko, meaning allowing the bas herself to reject the marriage to the mafata. And we're talking about a case in this pasuk where the mafata had bia l'shem isha. So his kavanah was to be makadisha with that bia. And the Torah teaches us that if the father or the bas, one or the other, would protest against agreeing to this kedushin, then the kedushin are batel, and memela the mafat has to pay his knas. This becomes a kasha on Rav Asi, because Rav Asi says that in the case of marriage, only the father has rights to be ma'akev. She's out of the picture. Amalu Rav himself, even though again this proof, this kasha on Rav Asi Memel is a raya to Rav, but Rav himself gets up, he talks, he addresses himself to Rav Huna, who's his Talmud, or to Chia, his son, to tell them that there's no proof whatsoever from this braisa. Why? Lo tezlu basar ibcha. Ibcha means a kasha. In other words, don't rely on this kasha. This kasha has no substance to it. Why? Yachal lishnuye lechu. If Rav Asi was here, here's the answer that he could offer you. Kigon shepita shalol shemishus. The case of the Torah is where the mafata was not interested in issues. He was only interested in his own pleasure, l'shem znus. And since there's no kiddushin, therefore, even according to Rav Asi, the bas has rights to be ma'akev and refuse to agree to marry this mafata. However, when did Rav Asi say that it's out of the hands of the bas and she has no rights to make a machah, to be mama'enes? That's only where she herself initially received kiddushin, accepting it. Now she already is out of the picture. She gave her das, that box is checked off, and now everything is in the hands of the father. But in a case of a mafata, which was l'shem's nus, then she never gave her agreement. There was never an approval expressed on her part because it was never kiddushin. Now, with regard to the future kiddushin, she has rights to reject and disapprove. So the Gemara is not happy with this answer of Rav. How could it be? Pita shalol l'shem ishus. If the case in this parasha in the Torah was a pitui shalol l'shem ishus is kra boy, did the Torah have to teach us that in that case the father or the bas have rights to protest, to be mamayin, and to block the possibility of kiddushin to this mefata? Is if his be'ilo was shalol l'shem kiddushin, then how could she possibly be mekudeshes without some sort of kavana l'shem kiddushin? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is lomar shemeshalim knas kimefuta. The Torah was not discussing the issue of whether or not through this miyun she would marry this guy or not. The focus of the Torah is on the issue of the chiyuv knas. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is saying that the Torah was not interested in teaching us that through the miyun she's allowed to get married to someone else. I mean, if that be the case, then it doesn't make any sense, because the mafata here was l'shem znus, the pitusha. But rather, the thrust of the Torah, and its chiddush, is that her miyun has the power to force the hands of the mafuta, of the mafata, excuse me, to be mishalim knas to the mafuta. That's the chiddush of the Torah. Now Rav Yosef is going to have a discussion with Rav Nachman, in which he wants to prove from the pasuk in Chumash that we're talking about a mafata l'shem znus and not l'shem ishus. Omalei Rav Yosef, ihachi, if you are correct, ihachi, hainu v'tanina, that would justify what it says in the Braisa. So the ihachi here is in a sense a support text from a Braisa. The Braisa says, darshining the pasuk mar yimarena lo leisha in the parsha mafateh, shetzricha heimena kiddushin. The Braisa comments on this parsha that if the mafateh would in fact marry the mafuta, he would require kiddushin. The impital shumishas kiddushin lomali. So this would support what Rav Nachman said, that the focus of this parsha is whether or not hamiyun is meaningful, to is effective to generate a chiyuv knas on the mafata. But the subject of this parsha is not kiddushin, because clearly, since the original bia was not l'shem ishus, it was pitui l'shem znus. Therefore, as the Braisa says, she needs he. Let's say the mafata would have to implement a maisa kiddushin, and there's no question in anyone's mind that she could disapprove of the marriage. She can block the marriage. Amalei Abaye turns to Rav Yosef, and he says, "You know what? This Braisa is a knapa raya. There's no real proof. Because even if I grant you that the pitui was l'shem isus, she still would need a kiddushin acherin. Why? Tzricha kiddushin l'das avia. The first kiddushin might have been l'das habafuta. She gave her agreement if the pitui was l'shem isus from the perspective of the mafata. But nevertheless, we need a kiddushin l'das avia. And the original kiddushin was not l'das avia. He didn't approve. He didn't know anything about it. All right. Now, Rabosai, we begin the new Mishnah here on Memvav Amud Aleph, which addresses an issue that we discussed in the past. When a man gives something to a woman for kiddushin that's not necessarily worth a pruta, but he gives her more than one object, and perhaps the sum total, if we integrate it together, would come calculate to be a pruta. Can we integrate all these different objects, in the case of the Mishnah, going to be tmarim, into one Maisa Kiddushin, such that there'll be a Shava Pruta amongst all the different tmarim that he gave her, therefore the Kiddushin is Chal? Or do we assume, on the contrary, every single Nesina that he gave her is a separate Maisa Kiddushin, and unless one of the various Nesinos has the value of a Shava Pruta, is Eina Mekudeshes. So the Mishnah is going to set the rules, and we're going to see that this Mishnah is authored by Reb Shimon. Ha'omer li ishes kachi li bitmara zu, his kachi li bizu. So he uses the Lashon Kiddushin twice, separately, once for each tmara. Is im yesh biachas men shava pruta mekudesh. We cannot integrate the two tmarim into one Maisa Nesina, one Kiddushin, such that if the total, let's say this tomorrow is worth half a pruta, this is worth half a pruta, the total is Shavu pruta, she's Mekudeshes. No. We're going to require that one or the other of these tomorrow, in and of itself, in and of herself, is worth a pruta, because we see his kachi as two separate independent Maisa Kiddushin. Fiam Lav. Ain't no Kadeshis. If there's no one single Tamra that you can point to and evaluate it at a Pruta, then the Kedushin are not valid. You cannot integrate the various Tamarim into one Maisa Kedushin and calculate, add together their values to achieve a Shava Pruta, because his Kachi is Kachi. Oh. Now the Mishnah goes on and says, Bazo, Ubazo, Bazo. He hands her a Tamra, and then another Tamra, and another Tamra. There's one language of his Kajili that integrates all of them. Bazo, bazo, bazo. In Yeshava Pruta Bitsiruf, Kulon Mekudeshes. If we can integrate all together, A, B, and C, and finally arrive at the value of a Shava Pruta, then she is Mekudeshes. In love, if all the Tamarim together are not worth one Pruta, is Eina Mekudeshes. Oh. Now we get to the Sefer of the Mishnah. This is going to be the most engaging part of the Mishnah, as we'll soon see later on in the Sugya. Hoysa Ochelis Rishona, if she was eating, consuming the Tamarim as he gave it to her, is Eina Mekudeshes, even though in the case of Bazu, 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 you can integrate all Tamarim, but that's only if all the Tamarim exist or coexist at the same time. But if the first Tamra was already eaten, again, we have to see whether she has to pay him up for that Tamra, or was an Asina and a Matana, but be that as it may, Eina Mekudeshes, you have no right and no ability to integrate the two Tamarim or the three Tamarim together because they don't exist at the same time. The first Tamar was already consumed. And therefore, Chiyahei B'Achas Men Shavapruta, in such a case, even though it was Bazu, 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 where you can integrate the all together, but here you don't have the luxury of integrating, the possibility of integrating all three, because by the time he got to the bazoo, the second bazoo, she had already eaten the first bazoo. There's no way you can mitzaref the tamarim, and therefore the condition would only be chal. The contingency requirement would be if one of the tamarim were worth a pruta. The Gemara says, "Man tana hiskachi." Who's the author of the Mishnah who says that if there was repetitive hiskachi, then we cannot integrate the various nesinos into one? Omar Rabba, Reb Shimon he. Where did Rav Shimon say or express this kind of a shita in a whole different context? We're talking about Shavuos HaPikadon. We've already seen this. This is kind of a review of what we already know. Many different tovim come to demand a pikadon, which are in his hand, and he says Shvua she'ein lecha biyadi velo lecha velo lecha. In such a case, then he would be high of one carbon shvuah because he only utilized the word shvuah once and at the beginning of the sentence. And she yomar shvuah lechol echad v'yechad. If he says shvuah shein lecha v'yadi, and then he says shvuah shein lecha v'yadi, shvuah shein lecha v'yadi, then he's high of a carbon shvuah independently for each one because he repeated the word shvuah. And that parallels our mission of his kachi, setting them up as independent maisa kedusha. Now we go on to the second part of the Mishnah. Bazo, ubazo, bazo, im yesh bekulam shava pruta, is then mekudeshes, since the Makadish only used the word hiskachi once, we can integrate all the different tamarim into one maisa kedushin, and all we have to do is create a shava pruta by integrating all the tamarim together. And the Gemara now clarifies. Hey, this part of the Mishnah, what is it referring to? In what context is this being added to the Mishnah? Is it the last part of the Mishnah of Achla Sarishona, if she ate the first Tamara before she ate the second? That's called Ilema Aresha. We're going back. The Ahoy is referring to the last case in the Mishnah, and there were two cases before. So we have the Mishnah has three parts. Let's just review. Part number one is this kachi. Part number two is bazo, bazo, bazo. Part number three is where she started eating the tamarim. And the question now is the last part of the Mishnah when she's eating the tamarim. Hey, which part is it going back to? Is it going back to the Reisha, to the case of Hiskachi? Is the Gemara has a problem with that? Because my Irio Cheles, why is the problem raised by the fact that she consumed the first Tamra before she got the second Tamra? Afilu Manachas Nami, if she had all the Tamra and the Tamarim in front of her, right there on the table, she didn't eat any of them, she still would not be Mekudesh until there's a Shom Prut in one of them. Thus, Kachli Bazukam, he only used one language of his Kachli, of Kedushin. And therefore, I'm sorry, my mistake. because his kachli bazukover, meaning he set up a separate independent maisa kedushin in the first case of the Mishnah for each tamra. So we must have, as the Mishnah stipulates, a shavapruta in any particular tamra. Ella, rather, we're going on the seifa, that's also going to be problematic. In the seifa, if you recall, where he uses a single language of his kashya, therefore we can integrate all the tamarim together. Now the Mishnah qualifies, but if she ate the first one before she got the second one, and there's no way of being mitzari for the two, then again you're going to need one shavapruta. So the Gemara says that's not simple, that's not smooth, because afilu bekamaisa, meaning even if there was a shavapruta in the first tamra, right? The Mishnah says that in the second case of bazu, 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 all you need is a shavapruta in by being mitzarif, integrating them all, but now you're saying that we qualify that because you cannot integrate them if they don't coexist, as we said before, she consumed the first one before the second one. Is the Gemara says that afilu bekamaisa, in other words, even in a situation where there would be a shavapruta in each one separately, and she ate it, could she really be mekudeshes vamilvahi? In other words, since he integrated all the tamarim into one maisa kedushin, then the gemar maisa kedushin is when she receives all the different tamarim. So when she ate the first tamra, as far as kedushin is concerned, that first tamra is completely gone. It's non-existent. The gemar used the term vamilvahi. What does it mean? Now, she has taken that tamra and eaten it. She may indeed owe him a chov, and he might be mochel the chov, but it doesn't matter. This would come under the sugya of Makadish B'milva, which we discussed in the first parak. It's going to come up later on in this parak. And the rule is that Makadish B'milva ain't a mekudeshes. So let's again understand. The Gemara's argument is that why does the Mishnah say that im ochlas harishona, then you can only engender kedushin if one of the various tamarim are worth a pruta independently, which implies that even if the first one was a shava pruta, she'd be kudeshes through the first tamra. That doesn't make any bit of sense, because the first tamra has the status of a milva, and the kaish milva ain't a mekudeshes. No, there's once she eats the first tamra before the gmar maisa kedushin, then that tamra could no longer serve and function as kesef kedushin. Call it kesef milva, he might be mochel ha, but mekadesh milva ain't a mekudeshes. So, with regard to this kasha, we're going to have two answers. The first answer is that of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan uses an idiomatic phrase. He says, "Hare shulchan, v'hare bos, v'hare sakin, v'ein lanu lechol." This is like a mushel. You know, imagine you have a table and it's full of meat, and you have a knife. But the problem is, "Ein lanu lechol." We can't possibly eat it. What does that mean? Klomar, what this means is that, you know what? Says Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah is here in front of us. All the elements, all the variables are on the table, so to speak. And yet, I don't see how we can understand this Mishnah. Meaning, what Rabbi Yochanan is really commenting is that this Mishnah looks on the face of it like a Shulchan Aruch Lesuda, you know, a Shulchan that's absolutely set, ready for a full banquet. All the dinim are set out clearly. The Reisha is talking about a case where he's Mekadesh with each Tamra Bifnei Atzma, because he said his Kachi is Kachi, and therefore we must have in any individual Tamra Shavapruta. The Sefer is talking about a case where he integrates all the Tamarim into one, and therefore we have to see if we can get a tziruf of a shavu prut amongst all the tamarim. And if she eats the first one, then how could we be mitzarif that first one with the others? The first one is already gone. But yet when we read the Mishnah very carefully, we begin to see on a deeper level that we really don't understand what the Mishnah is saying about. It's like the suit is there, but we can't eat it. Maybe because his teeth are knocked out or something like that. But Rav and Shmuel, they are going to make an attempt, Baruch Hashem, at making sense of this Mishnah. Amri Chavai, they say, Li Olam HaReisha, this halacha, that if she starts eating the tamarim, then we have to find one of the tamarim that's worth a prut, and then she would be mekudeshes. But if she eats the tamarim before the Gemara Kiddushin, and there's no single tamar that's worth a pruta, ain't a mekudeshes. And this is all referring to the Reisha. The Reisha, if you remember, is the case where he repeats the word hiskachi, and each one is a separate Maisa Kiddushin. No, but you'll ask me, as we asked earlier, if that be the case, then afilu manachas, the din doesn't change whether she ate the tamar or she left the tamar on the table. Lo mi boy, come, you have to read the Mishnah with a lo mi boy. I don't have to tell you this, there's a greater chiddush. Lo mi boy manachas, I don't have to tell you manachas. Certainly, clearly, in such a case, she needs a tamar that's worth a pruta. Deika shav pruta in ilolo. But you might raise the possibility, logical possibility, that if she eats a tamra, then maybe she could be mekudeshes with a single tamra, even if it doesn't have a shavu pruta. How is that? Hoil umekarvi haniyosa. Since she, as soon as he gave her the tamra for kedushin, she immediately enjoyed the benefit of this tamra, then she would have a ratzon, a sratzus to the kedushin. She's so happy with the tamra that she ate. Is there's almost like, call it a gili das, that she wants to marry him. Is emra gomra umakne nafshi, there's a das makne, even if the tamra is not worth a shavah pruta, kamashma, the Mishnah wants to tell you that no, she's only mekudeshes if there's some single tamra that you could isolate that's worth a pruta. And this svar of whole makarvi anah is not sufficient, because in Kiddushin we need Kesef. And without Kesef, with all the Gemiras Das in the world, she's not Mekudeshes. Rav Ami wants to go back to the other possibility that we investigated. Liolam HaSeifa, the halacha of Achila, is referring to the Seifa, which is a case, as you recall, where there was one Maisis Kachi, one Dibur of his Kachi. And now we're going to integrate all the Tamarim together. Umay, and what does the Mishnah mean when it says, quote, Ad Shiehe V'achas Mehen Shavah Pruta? And if one of them has a Shavah Pruta, which we thought meant even if the first one that she ate has a Shavah Pruta, she's Mekudeshes? No. Ashe Bachrona Shavah Pruta. You have to stretch the language of the Mishnah a little, push in, that what the Mishnah really has in mind is that the last one has a Shavah Pruta. You know, the fact that one of the first, you know, the first, second, whatever it was, had a Shavah Pruta, that's irrelevant, because she's already eaten that before the Gemara Kiddushin, and therefore it's a Milva. Oh my, Rava says, Shmami no mi to Rav Ami. Let's derive from Rav Ami three different conclusions. Plus, Shmami no, number one, Amakadish ben Milvein Amakudeshes, that none of the first tamarim, even if any of them are worth a Shapruta, could operate and effectuate Kedushin, because it's only a Milva. The very moment she eats the tamar, she owes a chov to the Makadish, and therefore she would have to pay him back. And if he's mochel her, that would be Makadish b'chov b'milve, and therefore she's in a mekudesh as going to Rav Ami, unless there's a shamput in the very last tamra. Shmami no, number two is Makadish b'milve u'bepruta daita apruta, meaning what happens in this case where he wants to Makadish with all the tamarim, She's already eaten the first two, which makes them into a milvah. The third, Tamar, is worth a pruta. So basically, from the perspective of the Mekadesh, he's really being Mekadesh with both A and B, a milvah and a pruta. You might think that since half of, or whatever segment of what he wants to use as Kesef Kedushin is invalid, it's a milvah, that should blow up the whole thing, is no. Daita pruta. There could be a gemiras das that the prut itself function as kesef kedushin, and therefore the kedushin is valid. So even though Amakadish Mevul is Eino Mekudeshes, but if he adds a pruta into this equation, then she is Mekudeshes. And that's exactly the scenario of our Mishnah. If the last Tamar is worth a pruta, the first two are a milvah because she ate them, she consumed them, and now he's been Mekadesh with all the Tamar, meaning with the milvah and the third Tamar. Nevertheless, she's Mekudeshes because Mekadesh b'milvah pruta, daita pruta. And here we're turning to Daf Memvav Amid Beis. What's the third derivation from Ravami? Ushmami na toz bi alma chozrim. That if a man is Mekadesh with Mos, the Kedushin is not chal, for whatever reason, let's say, then the Mos themselves that were given are not given as a matana. He's not saying to her, look, I'm giving you this Kedushin. If it's not valid, then accept it as a gift. No, it's a bikadon. And she would have to give back that which she took. Again, she can't give back the tamarim, she's already consumed them, but let her pay its value, the value of the tamar. That she has to give back to the Mekadesh, because it was not given as an absolute nesina, you know, no backs touch blacks, but rather it was given for the sake of Kedushin. And if there's no Kedushin, then I want it back. There's no nesina here, there's no matana. And therefore, if a man is Mekadesh Nisha with many tamarim, and he says to Arap Mekudeshesli Bazu U Bazu, which means that Kedushin is chal only at the Gemar Nesina, in such a case, all the various tamarim that were given to her up until the Gemar Nesina are given as a pikadon, and she has to return them or their value. This very issue of someone who gives Kesef Kedushin and the Kedushin are not valid, does he have rights to demand back his Kesef? We have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Itmar, Hamakadesh Achoso. A man gives Kedushin to his sister. Obviously, Kedushin is not Chal, she's an Erva, and Kedushin Tosef B'chai V'krisus. Is Rav Omar Mos Chosri? He has a right to demand his money back. Shmuel Omar Mos Matana. The Mos convert themselves into a Matana. In other words, his Nesina is absolute. Call it either Kedushin or an absolute Matana gift. He has no rights to get it back. Rav Omar Mos Chosrin. Rav holds that the Mos come back, and he has the right to demand it back. Why? Adam Yodei Shein Kedushin Tovsin Bachoso VeGomar VeNosan L'Shum Pikadon. A man understands that the Kedushin are not valid, and therefore what he gives it to her, what was his intention? Obviously he didn't give it to her as Kesef Kedushin. He knows very well that it cannot be valid as Kesef. He gave it to her as a Pikadon, and therefore she has to return the Mos. Oh, so the Gemara says, Vilema la l'shum pikadon. So it's a little bit odd. If he understood from the get-go that this is not Kedushin, but rather a pikadon, why didn't he say to her, here, take this pikadon and give it back to me? Savar lo makavla. He was afraid that she would not agree to receive Mos as a pikadon, and therefore he gave it to her as Kedushin. But he never had in mind that this Mos would be given as Kedushin, because Adam Yodea ain't Kedushin Tosu Bachosa. Shmuel Savar, what is Shmuel Os Mos Matana? Why? Adam Yodea ain't Kedushin Tosu Bachosa Vigarva Nosan Lashu Matana. A man knows that the Kesef is not valid as Kedushin. He decided to give it to her as a Matana. So the Gemara asks, "V'neimel al shum matana? Why didn't he just give a gift to his sister? What's the big deal? Why did he confiscate? Why did he do it in such a convoluted way and say here's kedushin?" Savar, whenever you give matana, you always worry that the person receiving the matana is going to be a little bit embarrassed. You know, soni matana siyachia ksifa la milsa. She'll be embarrassed to receive a gift, And how could he somehow cajole her into receiving this gift? He's going to say to her, you know what, this is a shame kedushin. Again, it's a very strange, culturally, this doesn't fit into our culture, that a man would give his sister money and say, Arebe Kudeshli, in order to make it less embarrassing for her to receive the money. I don't know. Masiv Ravina, the Ravina is now going to ask a kash. We're going to have to learn now Masechta Chala. You know, Bavli is called Bavli because it's Bol Menakol. So now we have to open up a Mishnah in the second parak of Masechta Chala in order to try to evaluate the Shita of Shmuel. And there are going to be cases where a man is Mafrish Chala and he gives it to the Kohen. And clearly, that challah is invalid. And the question is, can he get it back from the Kohen? Or do we assume that he gave it as an absolute gift? According to Shmuel, a man knows that Ein Kiddushin Tosin Be'achoso. And therefore, says Shmuel, it's Mos Matona. So if a Yisrael gives, let's say, Kemach, we're going to see a case which is not a valid... And not a valid challah in chaloshem afreshes challah is not valid. He gives it to the kohen. Then Shmuel would argue that he doesn't have rights to get back his kemach. But yet the Mishnah says the following: Hamafrish chaloso kemach. A man did not wait until the water was added to the flour, and it became a dough. The Torah says in the parasha in Shlach, it says Reishis Arisa Sechem, and Arisa or an Isa means water that was added to flour. Instead, he decided to give Kemach to the Kohen as Challah before the Nesina Samayim, before it became an Isa. It's ain't a Challah, it's not Challah. Oh. So now the question is, does he have rights, the Israel, to demand return on his Kemach? According to Shmuel, in the case of Kiddushin, where he gave money to his sister, he doesn't have rights to demand it back. It becomes a matona. And yet, the Mishnah says in Chala Gezel Biyad Kohen, meaning that the Kohen now certainly has to return the Kemach back to its rightful owner. Vamai. So the Gemara asks the following question. According to the logic of Shmuel, is Gezel Biyad a Kohen? Neima Odom Yodesh Eim Afrish and Chala. A man knows he can't be Mafrish Chala Min a Kemach. Is Nosan, the Segomar of a Nosan, L'Shem Matona. So obviously he's giving it as a gift. Why is that any different than the case of a man who knows that he cannot be Mekadesh, his sister, therefore he gives the money as a gift? In other words, any das, which clearly it was understood mirosh, that it's not a das for X, becomes automatically a das machna, according to Shmuel, and it becomes a das matona. So why does the Kohen have to give back the Kemach? So now we get to a more complicated part of challah. We're going to try our best to plow through this. The Gemara is going to now defend Shmuel and reinterpret the Mishnah. Enoch Inami, the Gemara says, to defend Shmuel, the Kemach technically belongs to the Kohen. In other words, according to all the rules and regulations of Das Machne, there was a Hakno and a Matona from the Yisrael to the Kohen on this Kemach. But rather, the obligation incumbent upon the Kohen to return the Kemach, that comes under a different halacha. That's already an internal cheshbon in Hilchas Chala, has nothing to do with Hilchas Das Machna. Shiny Hossam, the Nafik Churva Mineh. The Chachamim required that the Kohen return this Kemach to its original Bailim in order to avoid a Churva. Churva means some sort of a takola. In this case, a takola of a very severe iser of tevel. And we have to keep in mind that the iser tevel is chal not just vis-a-vis Yisraelim, it's chal for Kohenim as well. Is zimnin de Isleila Kohen pachos michamesh revim kemach v'hai Alish le bahari adodi v'kasov nitkina isoso. Okay, what we're afraid of is the possibility, listen carefully, that this kemach that was given to him by Yisrael has a shame chal. It's already mitukon, meaning it no longer needs any sort of hafrasha, and therefore the nafkamina is that this kemach will not join together with other kemach, which is tevel, in order to form a shear, to establish a shear for a chiv chal. Let's explain. So far, everything I said sounds like gibberish. Okay, we'll go slowly. Here's the first introduction. When you mix kemach with water and you create an iso, there's got to be a shear of kemach, a certain minimum size, in order to engender a chiv chal. That shear is called a reva kemach. Okay, let's formulate it in the following terms. It's all based on a sugya in Masechta Erevin on Daf Pei Gimel Amid Beis. Okay, the Gemara there establishes the shear, the minimum shear of kemach that engenders a chiyuv chal. Okay, then. And the shear of chala is called chamesh revoim kemach. Okay? Now, this has to do with the shear of a kav. And we're talking about a 1.25 kabim. In other words, 5 revios of a kav. 4 revios make up a kav. And now you have another revios that makes up 5 revios. And now the Kohen has, let's say, 4 revios, but he doesn't have that 5th revio, and the Yisrael gave him kemach. And now, if you think about it, if the Kohen is aware of the fact, and he should be aware of the fact, that the kemach that he received from the Yisrael is not challah, it's not metukon, because you can't be mafrish kemach as challah, then that revius now, which he received as kemach, as challah, which is not challah, is now mitzuraf to the other 4 revios to make it 5 for the shear of challah, and he now has tevel etz chayiv and challah. Right? V'hai alish le'bahari adodi, the Kohen took this revius of kemach that he received from the Yisrael, thinking that it's mitukon, and he added it to the 4 revios of kemach, which are not mitukon. And unbeknown to the Kohen, he now has a tzir of Isa for a shear of challah. But Kasavar, he thinks, nitkina isaso. He thinks that this Isa does not need hafrashas challah, because the kemach that he had in his house, which he received as kemach, as truma, was already mitukon. It already has a shem challah, and therefore it's not mitzuruf to the other 4 revios to engender a chiyuv challah. The asul mikhlu tivla, and heaven forbid he's going to eat this bread, which is really tevel, because in his mind it's not tevel. It was not a shear of challah, but really it is a shear of challah, because the revius of kemach that he received as truma is not truma at all. So again, even though in most cases, we assume that the Kohen is aware of the fact that the kemach that he got is not mitukon, it's not challah, because ain't other mafrish challah min hakemach. But you know what? Maybe there's one in a million cases where he doesn't know, and he thinks that it is challah. And we got to avoid that case like the plague, because of the possibility of a Kohen being nichshal in achilas tevel. And therefore the Chachom made a takon, and they said, you know what? The Kohen immediately has to return this kemach to the Yisrael, otherwise he's a gazlan. And again, even though in Hilchas Dini Mominis, he, the Kohen, has rights to the kemach because it was given, according to Shmuel's logic, as an outright gift. But nevertheless, the Chacham used this as a flag, as a reminder. Because otherwise, if the Kohen is going to pocket this kemach, he's going to possibly come to the mistaken conclusion that this kemach is truma, and it's not mitzuv to Ashir Chala with the other 4 revios of kemach. The Gemara is not happy with this teretz. It's a brilliant teretz. But the Gemara says, "Va'amrit, we just finished saying And that was the basis of Akash against Shmuel. Adam yodea she'en mafrishin chala min hakemach. The Kohen is very much aware of the fact that this kemach is not chala, because there was no nesinis mayim, there's no isa. And if that be the case, the whole chashash of takola makes no sense. And the Gemara answers, yodea v'eina yodea. What does this mean? Yodea she'en mafrishin chala. He knows that there's no afresh chala min hakemach. But v'eina yodea tesover tamayim mayim mishum tircha de Kohen. He thinks that this halacha, that kemach is not chala, is some sort of a derabbanan halacha, shall we say. Meaning, the derabbanan didn't want to accept the situation where the Yisrael imposes a tircha on the Kohen and forces the Kohen to take this challah and make it into an isa. So therefore the Kohen comes to the mistaken conclusion that the reason why this challah is not challah is because you have to be mafresh challah min ha'isa in order to avoid imposing a tircha on the Kohen in forcing him to prepare the isa. But v'tircha de Kohen achilte. The Kohen now comes to the conclusion that if it's an issue of tircha, then he, the Kohen, has rights to be mochel on his own tircha. And in so doing, the original chalos shem chalo would be valid. And again, we have this whole scenario of a takola. Fine, brilliant answer. But the Gemara is still bothered for a different reason. The Gemara doesn't understand. You're telling me that the chachomim are going to require that the Kohen return the challah that's rightfully his, again according to the Svar of Shmuel, to the Israel who gave him the challah, meaning the kemach, in order to avoid this takola. Says the Gemara, I don't know. Let the Kohen hold on to the kemach, because again it's rightfully his. V'tehevi truma, and you know what? Let's call it truma. Why couldn't the Chachamim teach the Kohen, instruct the Kohen, that he's not allowed to eat this until he's mafrish challah on, you know, for this kemach from a different isa? That's the logic of the Gemara's kasha now. So let's just go over this last point for a moment before we learn a Mishnah in Dubai. As I said before, this is very, we're really entering into a whole other area of Shas. The Gemara thinks that if our goal here is to use this halacha, meaning requiring the Kohen to return the Kemach to the Israel in order to achieve a goal of avoiding a takola, that takola could have been avoided without forcing the Kohen to return that which is willfully, rightfully his. How so? By instructing the Kohen that he's got to be mafrish chala on this kemach, meaning that would be a way of conveying, transmitting to the Kohen a clear-cut message that this chala is not really chal at all, that this kemach is lo nitkan. Just force him to be metaken by being mafrish mimokom acher. And the Gemara is going to prove from a Mishnah in Dmai that such a takana would be effective, would be acceptable. Milo Tnan, didn't we learn a very similar case in the halacha of Truma, that a person who's mafrish Truma from an otzitz nakuf. Now what that means is you have like a vase, okay, we'll call it a vase, and it's grounded in a way that the fruits that are growing from this vase are nourishing themselves from the ground itself. It's yonig ben akarka. Why? Because that's called an otzitz nakuf, which means that there's a chibur, there's a connection between the ground itself and the soil that's inside the otzitz. It's nakuf, there's a hole on the bottom. And that engenders a chiyuv truma min haTorah, because now liotzitz nakuv is considered gedulei kark, the peiros are gedulei kark. What happens over here? There's another otzitz that he has, the same owner, and that's an otzitz she'eino nakuv. It's completely closed on the bottom. There's no chibur, there's no yunika from the karka. In the case of an otzitz she'eino nakuv, that's only chayav b'truma min rabbanan. So he's got two atzitzim here. He's got one that's nakuv and is chayav and truma d'oraisa. So he has one that's eino nakuv, and that's only chayav and truma d'rabbanan. And then he went ahead and he was mafresh truma by taking out some of the peros from the otzitz nakuv on behalf of the peros in the otzitz she'eino nakuv, which only chayav and truma d'rabbanan. Now that's a problem. And the Mishnah says, "Lo te'ochel ad sheyotzei ole trumu ma'aser mimakom acher." This truma is truma, meaning you have to give it to the kohen, but there's no achila on this truma until there's going to be a second afrosh of mimakom acher. Why? Min haTorah. This truma is not chal. It's only chal because the Rabbanu wanted to establish a chiyuv hafrashas truma on the otzitz she'eino nakuv. But on a deraisa level, this is not a chalosheim truma, because he was mafresh truma from that which is chayav in hafrashim min haTorah onto something that's not chayav truma at all. And therefore, on a Torah level, this truma is tevel gomor. It's completely tevel until he's mesaken it. But the Mishnah in Dvai did not require that you return the truma back to the Yisrael who's mafresh the truma. All that we require is to notify the Kohen that he has to be mafresh a second time, and that's enough to avoid any sort of takola of eating tevel. And therefore, going back to our Mishnah in Chala, the way we interpret it to defend Shmuel, if you're telling me that the only reason why the kemach that's now in the hands of the Kohen has to be returned under the threat of Gzela to its Yisrael is in order to avoid a Takola, because the Kohen might mistakenly think that this Chala is Truma, you want to teach him that it's not Truma, just tell him that he has to be Mafrish Mimokom Acher. And that we've already seen established by the Mishnah in Tmai. So the Gemara answers, Betray money, Tzois, Bechad money, Lo Tzois. Sometimes this takana will work, it's effective, and it will circumvent the takola that we're afraid of. And that's the case of trey money. Tzois means he will observe, he will live up to the words of the Chachamim. If there are two atzitzim, right, that's called trey money, two kelim, then the Kohen is going to listen to the Chachamim, because you know, if he was mafrish from one kli onto another kli, right, from an otzitz nakuv on an ena klav, that's called two kelim, you know, you can easily convey the message to the Kohen. He understands that that's not afrasha. I mean, there are many dinim about being mafrish from one keli to the other, when it is chal, when it's not chal. So you tell him in this case it's not chal, he chaps it, he understands it. And therefore you've avoided any sort of possible takola. You don't have to require that the Kohen give back the truma to the Israel. But in the case where there's one person who is mafresh chalim in a truma, everything is in one kli, there are no two kelim, the Kohen might not really hop on when the Chachamim tell him that he has to be mesake in the kemach. That's not going to be an effective way of avoiding this takola. Ibois Emo, the Gemara offers another possible way of explaining the Shita of Shmuel. Li Olam Kohen makes its tzayis. The Kohen will always listen and observe the instructions of the Chachamim, even in the case of Kemach, even though it's only one Kli. And the Kohenim has reason that Ksherim, they're very religious and observant, they'll listen and they'll observe what the Chacham tell them to do. So why does the Mishnah say in Chala that Gezel, regarding this Kemach, Gezel biad Kohen, and the Kohen has to return the Kemach to the Israel? The answer is we're worried about something entirely different. Because Sovar Balabayis Nitkina Isaso V'osi L'meichel B'tivla.
there's a chashash here that this Yisrael, who is mafresh chalim in hakemach, maybe he thinks that in doing so, by giving the kemach over to the kohen as truma, he was mekayim his mitzvah of fashas chala, and all the other kemach was nitkan as a result of the hafrasha of the kemach that he gave to the kohen. And then what he's going to do is he's going to add water to the kemach that he has in his storehouse, you know, in his kitchen, and now he's going to create an isa. He's going to knead the isa. He's going to bake it. He's going to eat it. And now it's what's going on. The Torah commanded him to be mafrish only mina isa, and there's no shame chal on the kemach that he was mafrish. He has to go back and be mafrish after his gibul. But he thinks he doesn't have to be mafresh after his gibul, because that which he was mafresh to the kemach was valid, and therefore the kohen has to give him back the kemach and notify the balabayis that there was no chalos chal on this kemach. So again, what the Gemara is now changing here is that we thought adam yodein mafresh chal min kemach. That might be true as far as the kohen is concerned, but not as far as the Yisrael is concerned. And he thinks therefore he was misaken all his kemach, and now he could just add water, make an isa, and bake it. And he doesn't need a freshest truma. Frek the Gemara, I don't understand what you're talking about. Ha'amit, we said Adam Yodesh, Eim Afrish and Chalam and Kemach. That according to Shmuel's logic, when he, the Yisrael, gave Kemach to the Kohen, what he meant was to give it to him as a matana. The thought never occurred in his mind that it was really, truly Chala. So Gemara says, Yodea Vieno Yodea. You know, really, the Yisrael knows the din, but he doesn't have total clarity, and you know, he doesn't have it, you know, in his back pocket. Yodesh ein mafrish and chalam and akemach. He understands that we don't separate chalam and akemach. But any yodea, what he doesn't understand is the reason for it. Sovra taimo amai mishum tiruch the kohen. You're familiar with this svara. We've had it before. He's afraid that this was an institution for the sake of the kohen to avoid all his tiruch of having to make an isa. But v'tir to the kohen kivlale. At the end of the day, the kohen accepted the kemach warmly, and obviously giving his haskama that he's willing to be mochel on any sort of tircha. And at that point, the Yisrael thinks that afrasha became afrasha, and therefore he might be fooled into eating the isa that's not metukenes. The Gemara is not happy with this answer. Vitehevi truma, why not apply the logic of the Mishnah and the mechanism of the Mishnah in Dmai that we learned before? Let it be truma. And viyachsa viyitrom, let the chachamim instruct the Yisrael that he has to be mafresh chala with whatever kemach he has left after he adds the water, makes it an isa. Milotnan, didn't we learn in the case of afrashas truma min Otzitz Sheinu Nokuv Al Otzitz Nokuv is Truma V'yachsa V'yitrom? So the Gemara answers, "How Kimna betray money Tzos Bechad money Lo Tzos." As we said before, it makes logical sense that a person would understand that the afrosha from one kli to another is not valid. Whereas if it's all in one kli, he's not so quick to chap that the afrosha is invalid. The Gemara asks the Kasha v'lo Tzoyis, is it true that in one kli a person doesn't chaf what the Chachamim is saying, and therefore he won't observe it? But Tanan, we have another Mishnah, this time in Masechta Truma. So again, we've had three Mishnahs here. One in Chala, one in Dmai, and now one in Truma, the third Perek of Truma. Torem Kishos, a person was mafrish from zucchini, from these Kishuim, the small Kishuim, v'nimtza mara. And it turns out that these kishuim were not ripened. In other words, they were plucked and harvested from the ground before they were ripened. And in such a case, they're not roi l'achila. They're not edible. Or the Mishnah has a second case. He was mafresh truma min avatiach v'nimtzei saruach. It was spoiled. In both of these two scenarios, he was mafreshrum from something that's not royal achila.
is the Mishnah Paskins Truma, it belongs to the Kohen, the Yachzer V'Yitro. And yet we can instruct the Yisrael to be Mafrish a second time, and thereby notify and clarify for the Yisrael that this was not a valid Truma. And you see that we don't require giving it back and so forth and so on. We can simply can convey that message, and it's all in one kli. So we see that even in one kli, the Yisrael will observe the instruction of the Chachamim, that he has to go back and be masakin his peros. And therefore, in the case of Chalu im Nakemach, why does the Kohen again have to return the Chalu to the Yisrael? Why not just instruct the Yisrael that he needs to be mafrish shiny hus? And the Gemara says that case of Truma is different. It'd be the Raisa Truma Me'alyahi. In other words, in that case of Kishos, which turned out to be unripened, Me'ikar Adin, according to the Raisa, the Truma is valid. And that's different from the case of being Mafrish Chalamin HaKemach. If you're Mafrish Chalamin HaKemach, such afrosh is not worth a dime. The Torah doesn't recognize that afrosh at all. But if you're Mafrish Truma Min HaKishos Min Tzemora, even though there's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah to be mafrish again, but on a Torah level, he really doesn't have to be mafrish again. Min Torah, the afrosh was chal. It's only the rabbanon that are requiring a second afrosh, and therefore they can be more lenient. Mid Rav Eloi, based on the principle of Rav Eloi. What was the principle of Rav Eloi? The Omer Rav Eloi, minayin l'torah min ha'ra l'yofer, shetrumaso truma shenemar v'lo tisu olav chet barimchem eschelbo. We're going to analyze this pasuk in Parsha Shlach, in the Parsha of Chala. We're going to see a problem in this pasuk. But basically what Rabbi Loi, just to get the bottom line, he wants to derive a halakhic principle from darshaning this pasuk, namely that you can be Tori min ha'ra l'yofer, and the truma is chal. So you have peros royim, mekul kolim, and you can be mafresh from them on perfectly healthy and tasty peros. The truma is valid, min ha'tor. What does he see in the possible tisu olav chet barimchem es chelbo? Very strange. We're talking about chelbo. Chelbo means the best of the best. And the Torah has to tell you that being mafresh from the best of the best is not a chet? Is what's going on over here? If he was, it seems like the Torah is telling you that if he was not mafrish min ha-chelbo, but rather min ha-garua, it would be a chet. Now, what does that mean? He was mafrish min ha-ra, and then it's a chet. Because if he's mafrish min ha-chelbo, then lo tisu olav chet. That's obvious. So the Torah hasn't told me anything. It must be the Torah is trying to be medayik and send you a subconscious subliminal message that if you are mafrish from something other than chelbo, meaning min ha-ra, then you will have a chet. Now, wait a second. If the afrosha is not afrosha, then forget about a chet. If ain't no kadosh, nisios chet lama. If the afrosha is completely invalid according to Torah law, the Torah doesn't recognize this afrosha. Where's the chet in this afrosha? He didn't do anything. But mikan says Rav Eloi l'tomim in ha'ra l'yofa shetrumaso truma. That in fact the truma is chal. Again, it's a chet because he's sort of cheating or undermining the position or the Kabbalah Satruma of the Kohen, because the Kohen is ends up with Ra, with Kishos Mara. But anyway, bottom line is the Hafrasha is Chalad Hafrasha. The Kohen doesn't have to return the Truma to Yisrael. And why is that? Because if it's truma, the Yisrael can't eat it. You know, we're not undermining the chalos truma, which is valid according to Torah law. So it's asura to the Yisrael. Elo, what you're worried about a takola, that if you don't give it back to the Yisrael, the Yisrael, is going to be mafish on his peros. Well, that whole takola is only on a drabbanon level. And therefore, min ha-Torah, there are mesukanim. This has nothing to do and is not in any way parallel to the case of Mafrish Chalam in HaKemach, where the Torah doesn't recognize that Hafrosh at all. And therefore, if you don't force the Kohen to give back the Kemach, we might be in trouble with a real serious Iser Tevel, because we're choshesh that the Yisrael will not be Mafrish Chalam in Iser. He thinks that the Kemach was a valid Hafrosh, and then he's going to eat an Iser B'Tevel. And therefore we have to be machmir. Okay, Rabosai, this is the end of the sugya of Mirtz Hashem. Tomorrow we'll start with the sugya of Amarava at the very bottom of Memvav Amid Beis, which takes us back to the Mishnah and the way Rav Ami understood the Mishnah of Haysal Chelos Rishon and Rishonah.